Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the English program, dedicated to Pope Benedict XVI's pastoral visit to Sydney, Australia, for the celebration of World Youth Day 2008. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI says farewell and thank you, Australia. Pilgrims' voices, music and sounds from Down Under wrap up an exciting week of events. Archbishop Mark Coleridge helps us understand some particularities of Australian culture in relation to the Catholic Church. And Sean Patrick Lovett, who's been travelling with the Pope in Australia, wraps it all up in his own special way.
I am pleased to have this opportunity to bid farewell to all of you and to say what a wonderful experience this week has been. During these days, we have been able to witness at first hand the joy that so many thousands of young people find in their faith, and we have been able to offer praise and thanksgiving to God for his goodness to us. We have had a taste of the warmth and generosity of Australian hospitality, and we have glimpsed something of the glorious scenery of this beautiful continent. It has truly been a week to remember.
Pope Benedict XVI's words of gratitude and adieu as he said farewell to thousands of World Youth Day volunteers gathered at Sydney's Great Park, the Domain, before setting off to the airport at the end of his week-long journey. And before boarding a Qantas charter flight bound for Rome and the Vatican, at the end of an intense four-day World Youth Day schedule, Pope Benedict again thanked and blessed the people of Australia. Chris Altieri has this report.
Pope Benedict XVI was met at the airport by Australia's Governor-General and other civic leaders of New South Wales. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd farewelled the Pope.
Your Holiness, your visit has been of great significance to Australian Catholics, to the wider Australian Christian community, and indeed to all Australians. Your visit is also of significance in the relationship between Australia and the Holy See. For 35 years, our two states have enjoyed excellent diplomatic relations since my predecessor, Prime Minister Gough Whitlam, established that relationship in 1973. Today, I announce that for the first time, Australia will have a resident ambassador to the Holy See in Rome. And today I announce that the government will be recommending to His Excellency the Governor-General the appointment of the former Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, the Honourable Tim Fisher, as Australia's first resident ambassador to the Holy See. In doing so, Australia will join the 69 other nations with resident ambassadors to the Holy See. Your Holiness, I am confident that Mr. Fisher, Ambassador Fisher as he will be, will discharge this position with dignity and enable Australia and the Holy See to work together on the great challenges we face in the world.
Speaking ahead of the Prime Minister, Pope Benedict XVI thanked federal and state officials as well as residents and businessmen and women, noting gratefully the enormous effort of coordination an event like World Youth Day requires.
We have opened your doors and your hearts to the world's youth, and on their behalf, I thank you. The principal actors on the stage over these last few days, of course, have been the young people themselves. World Youth Day is their day. It is they who have made this a global ecclesial event, a great celebration of youth, and a great celebration of what it is to be the Church, the people of God throughout the world, united in faith and love, and empowered by the Spirit to bear witness to the risen Christ to the ends of the earth. I thank them for coming. I thank them for their participation. And I pray that they will have a safe journey home. I know that the young people, their families and their sponsors have in many cases made great sacrifices to enable them to travel to Australia. For this, the entire church is grateful.
Pope Benedict said the experiences of prayer and the joyful celebration of the Eucharist were an eloquent testimony to the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, present and active in the hearts of young people. The Holy Father went on to say, World Youth Day has shown us that the Church can rejoice in the young people of today and be filled with hope for the world of tomorrow.
Dear friends, as I depart from Sydney, I ask God to look down lovingly upon this city, this country, and all its inhabitants. I pray that many of their number will be inspired by Blessed Mary McKillop's example of compassion and service. And as I bid you farewell with deep gratitude in my heart, I say once again, may God bless the people of Australia.
At a special ceremony in a great public park in Sydney called the Domain, before heading to the airport, Pope Benedict also thanked the thousands of volunteers who helped make World Youth Day 2008 a success.
Your efforts have prepared the ground for the Spirit to come down in power, forging bonds of unity and friendship among young people from widely different backgrounds and rekindling their love for Jesus Christ and His Church. In the crowds that have assembled here in Sydney, we have seen a vivid expression of the unity and diversity of the universal church, a vision in microcosm of the united human family that we long to see. In the power of the Spirit, may these young people make that vision a reality in the world of tomorrow.
I'm Chris Altieri.
And before departing from Sydney's Cathedral House this morning, where the Pope has been staying during the last 4 days, he celebrated Mass in private with a representative of a group of victims of sexual abuse at the hands of the clergy. And as an expression of his ongoing pastoral concern for those who have been abused by members of the clergy, the Pope then spoke privately with four of the victims. He listened to their stories and offered them consolation. He assured them of his spiritual closeness, and he promised to pray for them, their families, and all victims. I look back to this dense, week-long event with so many stories to tell, so much music and excitement, so many happenings, and so many discourses. I only have a half-hour radio programme in which only a selection of all these can find place. It's so hard to choose. But my colleague, Emma McCarthy, did her own selection, starting from the very beginning, from even before Pope Benedict arrived in Sydney. Here it is.
For me, this particular event is like a Catholic Olympics, a faith Olympics, Olympics of faith.
Every nation, every tribe.
My name is Andrew from Kenya. I've come to attend the World Youth Day.
Ana Sester Sosian, soy de Lebanon.
Bueno, mi nombre es Hugo Rojas Ralde, soy de Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
My name's Ben, I come from East Timor and I'm here in Sydney for World Youth Day.
Mi nombre es Francisco Javier García, soy de Chincha, Perú.
Volám sa Zuzana Kovaľová, som zo Slovenska.
Soy el padre Castor José Álvarez de Besa, que gracias a Dios he venido de Cuba.
My name is Jeff Dolly, I'm over from the Republic of Ireland.
Meeting the Pope from up close is, wow, unbelievable.
We're just heading down to Barangaroo and waiting for the Pope to come. Hopefully we get to see him.
The great yacht Sydney 2000 ferried Pope Benedict XVI from Rose Bay to Barangaroo in Sydney's East Darling Harbour.
As he arrives, we the young people of the world welcome to World Youth Day 2008, His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI.
Standing before me, I see a vibrant image of the universal church. The variety of nations and cultures from which you hail shows that indeed Christ's good news is for everyone.
It's very interesting to see there's so many young people that are coming together, coming from different cultures, and you're able to exchange ideas.
It's so amazing to see young people promising to Jesus that they're not ashamed of him and that they would stand up for the faith. There's so much hope for the church, for the world.
The joy I have today, I believe, is an endless joy.
Iyejima Yacinta Igwe of Nigeria was one of 12 young people who got to have lunch with Pope Benedict on Friday.
That is a way of us Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here in Australia, is a way of our issues and also the great work the church is doing for us here in Australia, and how much the church has embraced our culture, our spirituality, and incorporated that into our Catholic tradition and our Catholic faith.
Indeed, I am deeply sorry for the pain and suffering the victims have endured, and I assure them that as their pastor, I too share in their suffering.
We're also looking forward to the Stations of the Cross and walking the steps that Jesus himself would have walked in the enactment, the dramatization of that, because that in itself has certain meanings to all of us.
Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out of the city to the place of the skull, or as it is called in Hebrew, Golgotha.
Of course, the Easter Vigil and camping out under the stars should be exciting. A bit cold. We're from the Bahamas. This time of the year is about 90 degrees, so sitting out in Sydney's 50 degrees Fahrenheit is kind of rough, you know, but we're getting over it.
Pilgrims of the world, welcome to the Southern Cross Precinct in Sydney, Australia, for the World Youth Day 2008 Evening Vigil with His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI. And don't you know, don't you know, don't you know, don't
you know, don't you know, God is love. I actually was sleeping here last night. It was a candlelight vigil last night. And I didn't have a sleeping bag, but my fellow pilgrims looked after me. They gave me a sleeping bag and they gave me food and water.
Of course, the final mass of the Pope.
Dear people, how are you using the gifts you have been given? What legacy will you leave to young people yet to come? What difference will you make?
It's been tremendous. It's really been wonderful for strengthening the faith of those boys to realise that they're not alone. The Holy Father was speaking about renewal. What has been very cold weather, a winter if you want, and has been symbolic of the situation of the church in Australia for such a long period of time. Now we are seeing the springtime. Tremendous hope. It's been wonderful.
Dear friends, the time has come for me to say goodbye, and I look forward to seeing you again in 3 years' time. World Youth Day 2011 will take place in Madrid, Spain.
It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, and for those who haven't come here, and experience World Youth Day, I would definitely recommend that they try and come. If anybody out there can make it, I would definitely recommend that they come along and experience it for themselves. It's absolutely a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much, Ema, for that wonderful tapestry of sound and emotion. And shedding light on the particularities of the Catholic Church in Australia, or rather, on the particularity of Australian culture and its relationship to the Church, and to sainthood, for example, here is Australian Father Mark Coleridge, Archbishop of Canberra and Goulburn, in a conversation with my friend and colleague, Veronica Scaresbrick.
Well, we only have one Beata so far, Mary MacKillop, who is an extraordinary woman. I suspect that sanctity, when it really takes root in Australia, will look a bit different than it's looked elsewhere, like most things. The Antipodes are a strange place. Nothing is as others expect. When the first Europeans came to Australia, they couldn't believe that the seasons were the other way around. I mean, we have Christmas in summer and Easter in autumn. They couldn't believe that you had trees that shed their bark and kept their leaves. Trees were supposed to shed their leaves and keep their bark. Now, all of that's to say that when sanctity really takes root and flowers in Australia, I think the saints will look different, and perhaps they do even now. When the first Europeans tried to paint a kangaroo, all they could paint was a big rat. They couldn't see the kangaroo because it was so different. And if you look at early Australian art, European art, you can see them gradually acquiring an eye that actually sees what's there in front of them. Now, I think it's the same with saints. Mary MacKillop unquestionably is a saint. But in a sense, she's still in a somewhat European mould. Her parents were Scottish-born. She was born in Melbourne herself. But what she did was uniquely Aussie. Mary MacKillop saw that there were all these kids, Catholic kids, out in the outback, the bush, the never-never. And they were getting no education in their faith or anything else. Mary MacKillop founds this order of teaching sisters who go out into these, what must have been, hell holes, and lived a life of extreme poverty in very, very harsh conditions in order to teach these kids. I mean, the heroism of it is astonishing. So Mary, in that sense, is as Aussie as a gum tree. But in another sense, she's still in that twilight zone as Europe really feels itself at home in Australia. Now, who are the saints today? I don't know who they are. I hope among the young people. I mean, John Paul II used to ask this question, you know, or he didn't ask the question, he made the statement, you are the saints of the third millennium.
Well, it's role models because it's such an innovative society. They need new role models. Perhaps.
They do. And very often the kinds of people that Australians respect, apart from sports people, tend to be secular saints. You know, doctors who run off and spend their lives helping.
Flying doctors.
All that sort of thing. But Australians are suspicious of religion if it doesn't do good things. In other words, that they'll say things like, well, don't give me all that religious junk, you know, all that doctrine and stuff.
They're pragmatic.
Yeah, very pragmatic. Give me the Salvation Army rattling their tin and going off and feeding the poor. Now, mind you, the Catholic Church feeds a lot more poor than the Salvation Army. Nothing wrong with the salvos. But there is a very, very pragmatic streak in Australian Christianity and Catholicism. But I think there is also, not far beneath the surface, a kind of mystical impulse that's not always easy to recognise because, again, it's an Antipodean thing. Now, I hope that there will be a new flowering of the mystical, the contemplative. Again, I say this endlessly in my own part of the world, echoing John Paul II, that we need a new contemplation for a new mission. And the church in Australia is a young church in many ways, but it's a young church that's grown old quickly. It's a bit like cloning Dolly the sheep. You know, Dolly the sheep grew old quickly because she'd been cloned. You know, she inherited the age of her mother or progenitor, whatever it is. Now, the Australian church can be like that. We've only been there a bit more than 200 years, but we've acquired the old age diseases of the old world. So we're no less in need of a new evangelisation than any other part of the world, even though we're young. And the new evangelisation, I think John Paul II was spot on. It can only come if there is a new depth of contemplation that produces a new outreach of mission.
The Divine Mercy devotion is strong in Australia, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that's another aspect of this resurgent popular religiosity that puzzles many people. If you look at the Divine Mercy devotion, which goes back to the mystical experience of St. Faustina Kowalska.
In Poland, yeah.
Really, it seems to me to be a latter-day version of the devotion of the Sacred Heart that went back to the mystical experience of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in France. So that it's something both new and old. And there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. Or the resurgent Marian devotion too of a place like Medjugorje takes its place within a much deeper and older stream of Catholic devotion that looks back to Lourdes and beyond that. So that, again, look, it's not a matter of choosing between the new and the old. That was perhaps one of the mistakes we made in those years immediately after the Second Vatican Council. I say to people in Canberra, look, at the end of my years there, however few or many they might be, I would like to leave a church that is both more traditional and more contemporary. Mm-hmm. I mean, many of us can formulate the questions and the challenges, but none of us are naive enough to think that we've got glib one-line answers to our questions or facile solutions to all the problems that we face. No, they're very complex problems. And there are certain elements in the whole scene that we cannot ourselves control. See, the church was once more of a power in the land, right at the centre of things, but the fact of the matter is, at least in Australia and elsewhere, we've been pushed to the margin. And we're often dealing with lay governments, you know, programmatically lay governments, that say that all religions are the same. The Catholic Church is no different than some, what we might judge to be some weird sect that appears from nowhere. So we can't claim any special consideration. In Australia, when I think of the politicians and their sense of the Catholic Church, very often they are only interested in the Catholic Church or regard the Catholic Church as relevant insofar as we provide services. Beyond that, they've got no interest in us at all. In other words, if we provide schools and hospitals, they're interested, but beyond that, you know, in terms of evangelization, they're not interested in us at all at that point.
How did young practicing Catholics? But they view Pope Benedict.
Many of the younger would still have some lingering memory of the gigantic figure of John Paul II, and by contrast, Pope Benedict, in our part of the world at least, doesn't have the same presence. But he can't have because he's only been in the job for a comparatively short time. But I think there is...
They also describe him as the Pope of the Word, no?
Yeah, but that's right. He's more professorial in style than John Paul II was. But that's no bad thing, I hasten to add. I think, in part, the people are genuinely impressed that the Pope, at his age, although I must say he looks terrific, but at his age is still prepared to jump on a plane and fly all the way to Sydney. I mean, that's no mean effort. And Aussies do understand the tyranny of distance and the pressures of long-distance flights. One of the things I noticed during the journey of the cross and the icon was how often young people quoted Pope Benedict. So he might be a pope of words, but clearly some of the words hit home with young people. Because he does have that ability to give the telling image or the vivid phrase. But I was quite struck, moving around the diocese and listening to young people constantly through those days, how often they quoted Pope Benedict XVI. Now, it's not as if they were told to do that, certainly not by me, but they obviously had come across words of his that somehow landed. And I don't think that they have the sense of him being some kind of remote professorial presence. And there's always a power. When the Pope The Pope comes, no matter who the Pope is. The Petrine office just does have a power, and it's a popular religiosity power, if I can call it that. Any group I've ever been in where the Pope is has a particular feel and a buzz to it.
You've been listening to Father Mark Coleridge, Archbishop of Canberra and Goulburn. Right now, Pope Benedict is high in the skies on his flight back to the Vatican, due to touch down at Rome's Ciampino Airport at about 11 p.m. local time. Meanwhile, in Sydney, posters and signs are coming down, pilgrims have left or are leaving, and the city is slowly regaining a facade of normality. I'd like to leave it up to Sean Patrick Lovett, who was in Australia with the Pope for World Youth Day, to sum up this exciting time with some of his insightful conclusions and tell us what it was that he enjoyed best.
Of all the banners and posters and signs and symbols I've seen here at World Youth Day in Sydney, it's my all-time favourite, Free Hugs. It actually says a lot more about the spirit and atmosphere and feeling of the event than all the other pious, pretentious or rhetorical examples like called from the world or proud to be Catholic, etc. That's because the Free Hugs sign is held up by a real live person who, true to the promise on the placard, offers you a real live, unconditional, unambiguous embrace. It's irresistible. They had to drag me away every time. More than anything else, the whole World Youth Day experience is like one big free hug. A youthful, universal, gratuitous embrace that accepts you for whatever you are, from wherever you are. No questions asked. Isn't that just what everyone wants? And not only young people. So as the banners and flags come down, the posters and signs are removed, as the pilgrims pack up and return home, those who have the task of summing up, wrapping up, of trying to make sense of it all, have to ask ourselves, what will remain? I'm sure we can look forward to a series of spectacular DVDs in high definition showing breathtakingly beautiful images of Sydney welcoming the Pope, of young people celebrating their faith and their youth, of the Pope reveling in so much energy and vitality. Someone has undoubtedly collected the Holy Father's speeches and is preparing to publish them in a handsome volume. I know for certain that CDs with the music of the past few days' celebrations are already selling like hotcakes. And what else? What about the long-term effects, the fruits of this experience? Well, statistics show that this can be a life-changing experience for many young people. Some of them will have reinforced their faith. Others will have discovered a faith they never knew they had. Some will have realized they have a religious vocation. Others may even have met their future spouse in the teeming city of Sydney. That's as far as the individual pilgrim is concerned. Collectively, the image of that massive outpouring of joy and idealism is hard to erase. In a world that insists on keeping God locked up indoors, here was God being flamboyantly, unashamedly celebrated in the streets. The message that remains is that faith can no longer be a private affair. It's a gift to be shared, enjoyed, and passed on from one to the other. Yes, just like so many free hugs. It's irresistible. With the Pope in Australia, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Laudetur Jesus Christus.